The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we are going to continue with the August 2023 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month was Chimney Rock, but we're also reading places about where to go for a family reunion. And our first article is not about a particularly pleasant subject, but Shall We Gather is the title. A Southern Funeral brings us together in joy as well as sorrow. Comforted by stories and memories, food and fellowship, laughter and tears, until we meet again. Written by Susan Stafford Kelly. You have reunions at the beach, and you have them at Christmas, and you might have some random one in May or September at an old home place, with chairs scattered in the shade of ancient oaks, peel-off name tags on a nearby table. And while there's no theme, no cheery command performance invitation, isn't a funeral a kind of reunion as well? Certainly tragic, too soon deaths must be acknowledged in any conversation about funerals. When my father died, because I couldn't manage one more smile, hear one more consoling comment, I retreated upstairs, threw myself across a bed, and counted the wallpaper stripes until I could face people again. Grief-stricken occasions are unavoidable, part of becoming and being an adult. But just as we've all experienced those, we've experienced festive funerals too, where the recessional isn't a bagpipe dirge, but the Carolina fight song, or a thumping version of When the Saints Go Marching In. Funerals where the eulogy elicits laughter, even applause. And afterward, well, afterward there's a party. A funeral becomes a reunion. It's not such a stretch. Why, give or take a few letters, the words are almost the same. And here in North Carolina, we do both very, very well. First off, as with any proper reunion, there's food, trays and bowls and platters of the gathering's goodies we do best, fried chicken and potato salad and ham biscuits, beans abound, baked beans with molasses, string beans with bacon, baby limas, and a three-bean salad, a coconut cake, brownies and lemon squares, and, if you're lucky, homemade banana pudding. Jugs of tea, lemonade, Bloody Marys, and beers. A mayo-coated mixture of something orange and purple, radicchio or red cabbage, carrots, beets, that it's best to steer clear of. Food is fine, but the definition of reunion is a social gathering attended by people who have not seen each other for some time. So there are relatives, naturally, the aunt who taught you how to crochet and pinch suckers off tomato plants, the cousin who showed you how to sharpen a pencil with a penknife, the godmother who always sent a birthday card with shiny new dimes inside paper slots, the relation whose connection, twice removed, you're not certain of, but who every Christmas carefully wrapped and mailed to you something she owned because she couldn't afford anything else. A serving spoon etched with inscrutable initials, a porcelain compote dish, items you considered useless at 13, now treasured. The grandmother who brought you a music box from Switzerland, a miniature chalet that played the theme from Dr. Zhivago when the roof was opened to reveal its tinkling, tiny, mysterious innards. Here, too, are folks who might not qualify as blood, but when someone dies, compassion equals kin. The sorority sister, the fellow who always seemed to be in the lane beside you at the Y pool, the colleagues, the caregivers, the coach, the college roommate, the waiter at a favorite Friday night restaurant, a teacher who remembers that essay you wrote on Jane Eyre, choir and Bible study, and garden club members, the bridge and canasta and poker partners, the neighbor you rented an aerator with every fall, heaving its bulk into the truck together, and friends with whom you swapped homemade Christmas gifts of marinara sauce and blackberry preserves, the friend who always made the pound cake, or her famous still-won't-share-the-recipe cheese biscuits, to send along on family vacations. There's no funeral reunion without the back-slapping jokester or the childhood pal with stories of youthful escapades and mishaps, the golf games and fishtails told and retold. You won't know everyone, though, so sooner or later you'll have to nudge someone for whispered info about somebody, just as you did at that high school reunion meet and greet. Him? That's the guy who, along with bashful adolescents at their first funeral, unsure how to act, children are always a scampering somewhere, sneaking a finger swipe through the cake icing after a reminder to shake someone's hand hard, not like a limp fish. They're oblivious to the occasion, and thank heaven for that. All those people, maybe unrelated, but still related, who've come to share, and therefore belong, and are welcomed with hugs and exclamations of delight, just like at a reunion. On my bookshelf is a hilarious, helpful hint guide to Southern funerals titled, Being Dead is No Excuse. On my computer, alongside files like Things to Do with Grandchildren and Recipes to Try, I have a funeral document. Hymns 466, 178, The King of Love My Shepherd Is, and Not the Second Tune. Readings from Isaiah 40, Revelation 21, 2-7, no homily. Is it morbid to plan for what will come? Not to me, because I know there's a celebration to come, too. Grief is an inevitable human emotion, but there'd be no sorrow without kinship. Kinship begets reunions, and the beating heart of every reunion is joy. And now, the power of love. Over 5 days in Davison County, ag enthusiasts show off antique tractors, combines, and mowers with pride. At the Southeast Old Threshers Reunion, memories of the farming life and the beloved engines that have powered it endure. A picture here of a very young boy sitting in the driver's seat of a tractor holding on to that steering wheel, which is about as big as he is. What kind of Father's Day gift do you want to get for a 75-year-old who doesn't fish, doesn't hunt, doesn't travel much, and plays little golf? One year, my grandfather received 4 cases of Levi Garrett chewing tobacco from his 4 children. In an effort to avoid that redundancy, my family decided to gather together for my grandfather's front yard and wash tractors. That would be his gift. These weren't just any tractors. These were his restored antique Massey Fergusons. and this wasn't a routine wash job. These six tractors were destined for Tractor Row at Denton Farm Park. There they would shine and gleam in the July sun during the five-day threshers reunion, the annual July 4th pilgrimage of farmers and farm equipment enthusiasts to a 170-acre field in rural Davidson County that has become a point of pride for the small town of Denton. My grandfather's six Massey Fergusons are part of a fleet of farm machinery that includes more than 1,000 tractors, as well as steam engines, combines, lawnmowers, trucks, cars, and even teams of horses. Every day of the threshers' reunion at about 3:30, my grandfather began checking gas tanks and passing out keys. He wanted every tractor lined up to make the daily lap for the parade of power at 4 o'clock. If you want to see pride personified, take a seat in the shade on the east side of the exhibit field and watch parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles drive through on John Deere's, Allison Chalmers, Farmall's, Oliver's, and Massey Ferguson's, with laps full of children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews. As the parade proceeds, the announcer calls out the make, model, owner, and hometown of each tractor. Smiles stretch and hands wave. We could not give my grandfather any gift that would rival the joy he found during the threshers' reunion. We simply showed up and helped him look his best. Denton resident Brown Loughlin started the Southeast Old Threshers Reunion as the fly-in. He built a hangar and runway in the field that would become Denton Farm Park and offered airplane rides as a fundraiser for the local rescue squad. The first rides took place on July 4th, 1970. The threshing equipment that became the event's namesake began as an afterthought. Loughlin needed something to entertain people as they stood in line, waited for a ride. He heard about a recent auction where more people showed up to see 1940s combines start and run than people who were interested in the sale itself. A light bulb went off. Until a combine came along, threshing wheat involved the whole community. Neighbors joined together to complete the manual labor that harvesting and threshing required. Afterward, they ate and talked and danced and fellowshipped. When Loughlin introduced wheat threshing at Denton Farm Park, the community component followed, and people began gathering to watch and talk and reminisce. Loughlin tried to introduce something new every year. The exhibit hall in 74, sawmill in 75, one-room church in 76, music hall in 77, general store in 78, and the handy-dandy railroad in 1982. By the 1980s, airplane rides ceased, and the fly-in became the Southeast Old Threshers Reunion. The show now runs for 5 days, always spanning a weekend, and including the 4th of July. Equipment demonstrations continue, as well as tractor and horse pulls, antiques and craft vendors, nightly bluegrass, country, or gospel entertainment, train rides, plenty of food, and fireworks. Brown Loughlin's children, Keith Loughlin and Karen Loughlin Miller, remember each of those Thresher reunion chapters. Keith was 7 during the first event, and Karen was 5. Keith remembers sitting in an aluminum chair in the airplane hangar beside a big black pot of green beans, cooking as a thunderstorm rolled in. They both remember getting spankings after grabbing ice out of their daddy's cooler and putting it down each other's shirts. Today, Keith and Karen work full-time at Denton Farm Park. Their father passed away in 2019, but their mother, Ruby, still comes into the office every day. The farm park now hosts a Picker's Antique Festival in the spring, a fall festival, and the Country Christmas Train in November and December. But the Threshers Reunion, which draws approximately 30,000 people in addition to volunteers and exhibitors, remains the centerpiece. A lot of people will say, "I brought my granddaughter when she was born. She's now 18, Karen says. They appreciate the family aspect and good, wholesome entertainment. The Threshers reunion runs not only in the Laughlin family, but also in other families, both local to Davidson County and farther afield. The Cook family of Denton is on its fifth generation of Threshers reunion participants. "We live 3 miles away, but we camp during the show," Ronnie Cook says. "We love it." Ronnie's great-grandfather and his great-uncle were some of the first farmers to help Brown Laughlin introduce steam engines into the show. Ronnie's grandfather knew how to work with the equipment as a lifelong farmer, and his uncle picked up the skills while serving in World War II. "That generation could fix and make and do things," Ronnie said. "It's amazing to see what they did." This year will be Ronnie's 47th Threshers reunion. He first attended with his father, James, when he was about 2 weeks old. Ronnie's two adult sons wouldn't miss the show either. The Cooks are involved with the Southern Davidson Volunteer Fire Department, where Ronnie is fire chief. In addition to showing off their Farmall tractors, they handle parking and safety. During the Threshers reunion, Ronnie takes a week of unpaid vacation from his construction business, and James sacrifices any plans for his July wedding anniversary in exchange for spending 5 days in the middle of a field, talking and laughing and admiring machinery. More than anything else, they enjoy the camaraderie. "If you're set up over there and your tractor won't run, before you know it, there are 10 people around you trying to figure out what's wrong with it," Ronnie says. That's just the kind of people who are there. Jeff and Karen Taylor didn't grow up going to the Threshers reunion, but after discovering it in 1988, they made it a family tradition. The Taylors are part of a dedicated set of long-distance campers who return to the same spot in the park every year. The Taylors travel 200 miles from Castle Hayne near Wilmington. They arrive several days early and sometimes use the farm park as a jumping-off point to explore destinations further west. "When the kids were younger, we would have season passes to Carowinds, so we would do that," Catherine says. "But not during the show. You can't leave the show." The Taylor's daughter, Victoria, used to cry when they left Denton, and she's remained a dedicated Threshers reunion patron. One year, after the fireworks, her boyfriend dropped to his knee and proposed. "You love it here," he told her, "and I want to give you one more good memory of this place." A couple of years later, the two made the journey when Victoria was 8 months pregnant, determined not to miss the show. The Taylors exhibit pedal tractors. These miniature versions of farm icons have a following all their own. Jeff has his childhood 1965 Model 20 John Deere. Victoria has Catherine's father's Ford. The Taylors gave their granddaughter one when she turned 3 and plan to do the same for their other grandchildren. They reserve 4 campsites and position their campers in a square. "We do the family thing," Catherine says. "They cook out in the evenings and make homemade ice cream. Catherine always puts a few scoops into a cup, sticks in a spoon, covers it in tinfoil, and delivers it to Keith Laughlin in the camper office." Generosity is a theme during the Threshers reunion. People share jumper cables and gallons of gas and extra seats in the shade. A few years ago, when my aunt and uncle were expecting a new child, our neighbors, a few spots up on Tractor Row, dropped off a pair of handmade blue booties. These booties were the handiwork of Jane Barnett. She and her husband Roger make the hour-and-a-half drive from Statesville every day of the Threshers reunion. "We enjoy seeing family members," Jane says. "In addition to our family, some of whom aren't our blood relatives, who we call our extended Denton family." Roger starts counting down the days to the Threshers reunion in January. He actually starts counting on July 5th or 6th, but he gets serious after New Year's. He's always one of the first to register his tractor and claim his spot on Tractor Row. One year, he left home for Denton at 4:30 a.m. Jane protested, pointing out that the gates wouldn't open till 7. "That's all right," Roger responded. I'll be sitting there when they open. The Barnetts travel in a crowd with siblings and nieces and nephews, and they always have at least one dog in their pack of Blue Heelers and Great Pyrenees. Concession stand workers slip Jane a napkin with bacon in it as she passes with the pups. Along Tractor Row, the Barnett family sits around a tent with a 1959 John Deere 430W in the middle. Roger's Uncle Jack bought it new the year that his nephew was born. Roger remembers Jack using it to bale hay and straw, pull a combine, and swing up hogs with a boom pole. Roger rebuilt the motor with Jane's dad, and Roger's twin brother painted it. I can still see Uncle Jack coming down the driveway with that combine, Roger says. Every time I crank that tractor, I remember those things. Tractors are good memory keepers. They run on both sides of my family. As passionate as one grandfather was about his Massey Ferguson's, my other grandfather cared just as much about his farmalls. He first restored a 1947 M with a double drawbar that was used to snake logs. Then came a 1947 H that I rode with him to get from Carolina Stockyards in Siler City, and finally a 1950 C, which we retrieved from a garage in Archdale. He also counted the days until a thresher's reunion. Every year he tied a piece of surveyor's ribbon to the fence to mark our spot on Tractor Row. As the months passed, he'd circle by Farm Park on his way to or from Denton, cruising by Tractor Row, checking on his ribbon. The thresher's reunion and my grandfather's affection for it appeared in both of their obituaries, right alongside professional accomplishments, community contributions, and the names of family members. When Brown Laughlin passed away in 2019, founder of the Denton Farm Park was the first item in his obituary. In his lifetime, Laughlin championed a lot of causes and won many awards, including the Order of the Longleaf Pine. He served in the U.S. Army Reserve and was a Davidson County Commissioner. He and Ruby were married for 61 years. They had two children and four grandchildren. None of them was surprised that the farm park received top billing. Laughlin's funeral took place in the Farm Park Music Hall. Even the toughest farmers shed tears when the train made a circle around the track and blew a long whistle. What a gift to know that something you created continues to bring people together year after year to find joy in a field full of farm equipment, learning and laughing, and making memories. The Denton Farm Park is on Cranford Road in Denton. The URL is DentonFarmPark.com. And now I'm going to finish reading, or at least continue. I don't know if we'll get a chance to finish it. An article I started last week called Reunion Retreats, places where families can get together for reunions. We stop with White Sulphur Springs in Mount Airy, and now we're going to do Lake Lure. The water park at the 720-acre Lake Lure in Hickory Nut Gorge offers kids a chance to zip down water slides and splash through sprinklers while adults relax on shore or float on the water in inner tubes. Families can also rent pontoon boats, canoes, and kayaks, or take an hour-long guided boat tour to learn about the history of the lake. The 100-year-old hydroelectric Lake Lure Dam, Chimney Rock State Park, and movies that were filmed here, including Dirty Dancing and The Last of the Mohicans, all within view of Chimney Rock. After a day of fun on the lake, families can dine at one of several restaurants in Lake Lure, including Lured, a farm-to-table grill and seasonal market, and rest up at a local hotel overlooking the rocky Broad River, like the rustic Carter Lodge in Chimney Rock. You can learn more at lakeluretours.com. And now, Wrong Way River, Lodge and Cabins in Asheville. Wrong Way River Lodge and Cabins, name alludes to the strange behavior of the French Broad River, one of the few in the world to flow from south to north, the wrong way. With 16 A-frame cabins across the street from the river, and within walking distance of West Asheville and the River Arts District, guests have the opportunity to enjoy both natural and urban experiences. Travis Schultz and Ashley Capps, a James Beard Award semifinalist, provide catering through their Asheville-based company, New Stock Pantry, and guests can book a wide range of activities like floating and paddling on the river, a brewery tour, and fly fishing through Wrong Way's partner network. After a day of adventures, families can gather at indoor and outdoor event spaces that include a wooded area with fire pits and views of the river and mountains. You're on Midnight Drive. The URL is wrongwaycampground.com. How about Pullen Park in Raleigh? There's a picture here of the carousel, and the caption says, "The Pullen Park Carousel, with its horses, ostriches, rabbits, cats, pigs, lions, tiger, and goat, is one of the earliest Dent Zell carousels still in operation." Families gathering at the first public park in the state can take a spin on its carousel, which dates to 1900 and features 52 hand-carved animals. Visitors can also rent a pedal boat for a ride on the pond, hop on the miniature train, or frolic on the playground. Groups gather for lunch in the shelters, cooking up burgers or hot dogs on the provided grills, then face off on the tennis courts or softball or baseball fields. On weekends, families might catch a play produced by Theater in the Park. The park borders North Carolina State University. Be sure to get some Howling Cow ice cream, and it's just minutes from the shops, restaurants, and museums of downtown Raleigh. For a multi-day reunion, Heights House Bed and Breakfast offers accommodations and a renovated mansion in the nearby Boylan Heights neighborhood. They're on Ash Avenue in Raleigh, and there's a long URL, but you can search for Pullen Park and you will find it. Great Smoky Mountains National Park. 7 group tent campgrounds across Great Smoky Mountains National Park provide places for families to gather around a campfire, roast marshmallows, and tell ghost stories. From there, they can set off to fish for trout, hike more than 800 miles of trails, stare in awe at the majesty of waterfalls, explore historic homesteads, churches, and gristmills, look for wildlife like black bears, wild turkeys, and elk, and climb to the top of the observation tower on Clingman Dome, elevation 6,643 feet. To learn more, oh my goodness, that's a long URL. Search for Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.